This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Beth, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, he's certainly somebody that John Durham would want to talk to, and it could range. It can go the whole range from he didn't do anything wrong, and he did admit to misrepresentations, but that's a little bit different than intentionally misrepresenting or an intentionally false statement. It could be that he's just simply not guilty. It could be that he's cooperating with John Durham, or it could be that he's still under investigation for other fact patterns not related to that discrete one with the leak. In the Clinton investigation.
Trey Gowdy reacting there with Maria Bartiromo this weekend. A lot of people asking the question, why wasn't Andrew McCabe charged? Well, I'm asking that question as well. And that's why I have on Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation, senior legal fellow there joining us now. Hans, it's been a while. Glad to talk to you again.
Well, it's nice to talk to you too.
Yeah. So when they said that Andy McCabe wasn't going to be charged, did it shock you? What was your immediate reaction to that news?
I don't understand why they're not charging him. And frankly, it lends and supports the idea that unfortunately folks have these days, that there's a two-part system, and that if you are a law enforcement official and you get caught doing things that law enforcement would otherwise charge you with as a civilian, that you're not going to get charged. And I think it's important for everybody to go back and understand what Andrew McCabe did. He engineered a leak to the Wall Street Journal of the investigation of the Clinton Foundation, which he then lied to FBI agents when they started investigating the leak. And then he lied to the inspector general when the inspector general started investigating the leak. So he lied to federal agents. That is exactly the same thing that General Michael Flynn was charged with doing and convicted after being prosecuted by the Justice Department. So, you know, you have to look at that and go, okay, Michael Flynn, who was working for Trump, while he was charged with this, prosecuted, convicted, and yet Andrew McCabe, who's a law enforcement official, top of the FBI, number two, he does exactly the same thing. I think it's actually worse because he's a law enforcement official. He knows that what he's doing is breaking the law, and yet he doesn't get charged. I mean, I can't explain it.
We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Check him out online at heritage.org. My next question to you, if you said you can't explain it, then my next question might seem a little silly, because I was going to say, what are the possible scenarios where this fits into what I feel like has been a natural arc to the story so far? You have William Barr, who's handling things infinitely different than the Justice Department has been held so far in Trump's administration. You have the Durham probe that is looking into criminal action taking place in the FISA courts prior to Donald Trump becoming elected. Is there any viable reason why Andy McCabe wouldn't be charged? Could he be cooperating in some capacity? Do they have to disclose that? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me either.
Well, Trey Gowdy may be right. And everybody should remember that Trey Gowdy, in addition to being a former congressman, was also a former federal prosecutor. And, you know, one of the things he said was that it's very possible that McCabe is somehow cooperating as a witness for John Durham and his investigation of the FISA application process. And I guess that's possible. If he is, no, John Durham's still in the middle of the investigation, so there's no duty on him to disclose that fact to the public. So, yeah, I guess that is a possible reason why he's not being charged right now.
We're just trying to look for some sort of sensibilities to this decision. Let me ask you this. In the wake of what we saw with the Mueller report and the wrapping up of that, we have the IG report, and we see William Barr seems to have a lot of activity that spans the globe right now, looking into an array of concerning things to people who have supported this president and the president himself. And then you have the John Durham probe that is taking place as well. From your observations, being somebody who is a senior legal fellow, I am certainly very far from anything of that nature. What kind of confidence do you have in William Barr running the DOJ, in John Durham investigating this as a side outside of politics investigation into what went down? How much confidence do you have in these two gentlemen to get the job done?
Well, I actually have a lot of confidence in them, and that is bolstered, in fact, by what he did last week, that is William Barr, for which he's been criticized. You know, last week, he stepped in and overrode the sentencing recommendation made by four prosecutors in the Roger Stone case. And it's a good thing he did, because the sentence that they recommended to the judge was overly harsh and way out of line when you look at the federal sentencing guidelines. What Stone was convicted for ought to get 1 to 2 years, and yet they came in and recommended 7 to 9 years in jail, as if he was a member of a gang or a mob operation. And the fact that Barr was willing to step in when he knew he would get all this false criticism of him from the left, That actually tells me he's somebody who's willing to stick to his guns no matter what the politics is.
Hans, this is Ryan Wiggins. What of the criticism that he is getting? It says, you know, 1,100 former DOJ officials are calling for him to resign because he's too close to the president who appointed him. I mean, are these valid criticisms?
No, it's not. And in fact, what that tells me, that those 1,100 lawyers signed that, it just confirms something I've been saying for years that I wrote a book about, which is that the Justice Department has been filled for years with partisan career lawyers. This particularly happened during the Eric Holder administration. He politicized the department to an extent we've never seen before and bent and broke civil service rules to put political allies into the career ranks. And this just shows how true that is.
What about Bill Barr himself breaking with the president and publicly criticizing his use of Twitter? Is that something you expected to see?
Yes, because he's been acting as a ethical professional. And he said, and he's right, that the president tweeting about this, you know, doesn't help the case. He also said that this had already been under review, and the president's tweets had nothing to do with what he did. And like I said, any real objective veteran prosecutor looking at what those four prosecutors would say, what in the world are you doing and why would you make a recommendation? That the folks who look like they were acting with partisan objectives here are those four prosecutors, not Bill Barr.
I agree with that completely. And I appreciate that William Barr came out and stood up and spoke for himself.
Yeah.
In a way that a lot of Trump supporters are like, yeah, what he said.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Can I just point out something?
Sure.
The prosecutors asked for an enhanced sentence because they said he threatened a witness. Well, the witness that he threatened, what did he do? Oh, he told him, I'm going to come get your dog. you know, the witness wrote a letter to the judge saying, look, I didn't take this seriously. This was typical Roger Stone being Stone. His bark is worse than his bite. I mean, when the witness doesn't even take it seriously, how can the prosecutors and how can they ask for an enhanced sentence under those circumstances? It doesn't make any sense.
Washington, D.C. has had its fair share of victimless crimes that they've been working very hard to prosecute here lately, for sure. I want to ask you a little bit about the IG probe with John Durham and what he's looking at. This seems to be going under the radar a little bit. We've got coronavirus. We've had an impeachment. We will have a Democratic primary here locally in not too terribly long. And we're seeing it march across the country, Iowa, New Hampshire, and so on. But the IG or the John Durham investigation is still taking place, and the implications, like on the spectrum of what could come of this and what has been alleged by people such as George Papadopoulos, who are directly involved in this, he's got a book out about it as well, is pretty magnificent in scope. To suggest what took place by people like George Papadopoulos and Carter Page, that it appears to be what is part of this investigation with Durham, It could be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, scandals to hit our governmental process in American history. Do you see this Durham thing coming out before the election, or do you think this is going to go past November?
No, I suspect we're going to get the results before the election. It's been going on now for quite a while. Durham's got a lot of resources that he's been given to investigate this. So it's impossible to predict it, but I would be very surprised if we don't hear about the results before the November election.
You were quick and very, very spot on when we were discussing the Mueller report with you throughout the course of the beginning of last year to say that this was going to end exactly the way it ended. You were very reliable in your reaction to what was going on. Do you have any gut feeling about, is this going to be earth-shattering? Is this going to be just another day in the news? And you know, some people will have been shown to do some bad things, but not going to catch the headlines?
I will be surprised if there aren't actual criminal prosecutions. For example, look, we know that one of the lawyers, one of the FBI DOJ lawyers, actually altered an email so that the court, the FISA court, would not know that Carter Page was actually doing things for the CIA in order to make him look like a Soviet agent. That can't be anything other than deliberate, intentional misconduct. And I just have a tough time believing that that particular lawyer, for example, is not going to get prosecuted for that.
If the president would have altered some sort of transcript or something that he had put out, if the president would have acted in the same capacity with which these people altered things so that they could investigate and spy on a presidential campaign. I mean, I just think when you flip this around on the Democrats, they'd be exploding all over the place with how ridiculously wrong this would be.
No, I think I think you're exactly right about that. But this only runs one way with them. And when folks on their side engage in wrongdoing, like hiring a foreign agent to make up and create a false dossier that makes all kind of claims against the opposition candidate that's then fed to the FBI, why they don't think a thing's wrong with doing that.
Yeah, it is shocking. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with that Durham investigation. Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Fellow for the Heritage Foundation. So great, as always, to speak with you. We look forward to doing it again soon.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Yep, absolutely. Happy President's Day. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm really excited about playing this clip for you. It's a PE teacher. What grade do you think these kids were in? Did it say?
It didn't
kindergarten,
say.
Kindergarten, first grade?
Yeah, it's elementary school for sure.
Small kids. Mm-hmm. I think they look younger than my second grader. He has a Valentine's Day message for his class, and he has some advice for the boys in his class and some advice for the girls in his class. And some people are thinking that this is not forward-thinking enough. So we're going to play it and get your reaction. If you hear this and want to join in on the conversation, 314-241-9797. Here is a song that was played at the 2016 Democratic Convention for Hillary Clinton. And it is Katie's most favorite epic compilation of beautiful voices in the world. Katie's going to jump out this window.
It's
Listen, turn this up.
Right now, I'll be strong.
Oh, it's beautiful.
This is a bunch of stars singing a song to and about Hillary Clinton.
It's a popular
it's
song.
But
oh, I know the song.
Yeah, it's for Hillary. Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what a Hillary presidency.
I still got a lot of fight left in me.
What it sounded like.
Nope.
Can we
was that
it?
Hillary herself saying that?
No.
Oh.
No,
I'll post
she was,
it.
She was looking at the balloons.
I'll post it and then everyone can be miserable, like me.
Yeah, well, it, you got to see there's some big name celebrities. Who is that?
Oh,
who is it?
No.
Yeah, Katie hates it. You want to blow something more or you want to take a break?
Break. Gotta go to break.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy President's Day. Tony Colombo is in the house.
Sup?
You came in early. You're hosting today for the Glover Show.
I am.
You got
excited to be here.
Cool in-studio guests today. Yes, I do. I love it. I'd wear that shirt. It says Walt Disney World on it.
It's a good one. Got kind of that retro 80s.
Have you been listening to the show?
I have.
I heard you waited
on, texting,
on
yeah.
the Moose costume.
Uh-huh.
Have you been picking up on all the President's Day references on our songs?
I did. I heard the Nixon's sister,
ooh.
Which I was incredibly impressed by. And then that was
my idea.
That was followed by President of the United States
yeah?
of America.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and at first I thought, oh, are they doing like a 90s?
It would seem so.
Kind of one-hit
kind of.
Wonders thing, which I was loving
yeah.
because all those songs are right up my alley and great.
They need a home.
Yeah. And then I realized, no, that's not what they're doing. They're doing Presidents.
You stitched
theme.
It together.
Yes.
And then we're playing that. He goes, what's this? Oh, Linkin Park.
No, I
he
no,
seemed disappointed.
No. I was wondering, because I knew the song, and I thought, well, what does this have to do with Presidents? And then, oh, it's Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Linkin.
Yeah, it's not spelled the same.
We worked real hard on
yeah,
this
and
today.
Linkin Park is
we did. Yeah.
President Lincoln.
The Nixon's one, I admittedly know nothing about. Ryan came up with that. He's like, everybody knows the song. You'll know it when you hear it. And I'm like,
and neither one of these girls
we
knew
didn't,
that song.
Well, we deferred to
you're
Ryan.
A little too young.
And I'm glad. Thank you. I'm glad that I trusted Ryan that other people would know it.
That song was in regular rotation on the point for the entire time that I worked there. It was
yeah.
just like a one-hit wonder song, like a song that caught on for the Nixons. Didn't really have any other songs. I think they had one other song called Baton Rouge that got a little airplay.
Call 'em Baton Rouge.
It yeah. sounds like a typical 90s song.
Like, yeah, we heard it. We're like, well, we know when this is from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you
That's
celebrate?
A great song, though.
Do you celebrate Valentine's Day? I don't know that we got. To, did we get to talk to you about this?
No, we did not talk about it. And
that's your love, Tony Colombo.
Not really. We have too much. There's just too much going on. I mean, we get the kids. You know, the kids do their Valentine's Day stuff, and they get.
For
we
school
buy them Valentine's
it,
for school,
do,
and no, we get their stuff for school. But they, you know, we have fun. There's Valentine's candy in the house and things like that. But we don't like Christine and I don't do anything. There's
you guys
just,
don't partake.
We don't have time.
Well, there's this PE teacher, and I don't know that we know what grade he teaches, but we know it's elementary.
Yeah, it's elementary.
I'm pegging it around first grade.
Okay.
So and. He is a PE teacher. He's got all of the kids. We have this up at 971talk.com/Annie right now.
Mm-hmm.
And probably going to share it to the Facebook page here shortly if it hasn't been done. And he's got his kids sitting out on the gym floor in front of him. And he walks up with a bucket full of red carnation flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got boys and girls sitting in front of him. And he says,
I'd just like to take this day, like I do every year, to tell you young ladies how special you are, how much I care about you, give you a Valentine. Boys, I always like to take this moment to remind you that you are special to me as well, but that it's our job as young men and men to look out for these young ladies, to take care of them, to protect them. That's what gentlemen do. Okay? Remember that. Think about that. When you think about one of these young girls, think about how you would want your sister treated, or your mom treated, or any lady that you have in your life that you care about. because every single little girl in here is somebody's daughter, somebody's sister, right? So please, pull out chairs, pull doors, do things like that, and let these girls know how special they are. Take care of them. Boys, you are very special too, and I'm very proud of you, and that's why I want to be a good role model for you and teach you what we should do and how we should act and how we should treat these young ladies. Okay, so I hope you all have a wonderful Valentine's Day. I love each and every one of you very much. Okay, I wanted you guys to know that today.
So then he takes he asks the boys to stand up and go get in line somewhere else, and then he tells the girls to get in line, and then he hands them each a flower and gives them a hug and then sends them on their day. Tony, love it, hate it?
I'm just laughing because there's obviously nothing but good intentions behind that message, and I'm sure you're going to tell me that he's getting crushed on social media.
I stumbled across, like, I haven't seen this actually being covered in the news. Somebody who I'm connected with on Twitter or something retweeted it, and I watched it, and there were some comments on there that are like, he's, first of all, girls should be being asked to look out and protect boys just as much as boys should be asked to look out and protect girls.
Where was that? It was obviously in the South because he had that southern accent.
I've been trying to look up an article about it, can't find one.
It's not like it's this huge thing yet. Maybe it will. Maybe it will be by this time tomorrow. But the message of...
I'm certainly not offended by it.
He talks to boys and tells them they need to be gentlemen. Yeah. He tells boys that they need to look out for these girls. They're somebody's daughter. They're somebody's sister. You need to look at them that way.
Open doors.
And he also,
pull out chairs.
And he also says,
what a monster.
That, I know. What is the world coming to these days? But he also talks, he does say to the boys multiple times, you know, you are special too to me.
Yeah.
And I care about you.
And I love you.
Yeah. And I was, that's what I was kind of listening for, to make sure that, you know, that he was also making the boys feel special. And I think he did. I don't know.
Katie,
is it a little bit much? I get you could probably say it's a little much, and
why? Because nobody ever said something like that to you.
No, I mean,
Tony, you're special.
I can understand somebody saying like, look, I have no problem with it, but it's a little much for first grade, and you know, on Valentine's Day, it's not really, you know. But anybody that's got like a problem with that is offended by it.
Your life's going pretty well.
Give me a
concerned
freaking
about
break.
That.
All he's doing is trying to teach the boys to have manners.
314-241-9797 if you want to join the conversation.
This is a tweet that was saying, that was opposing this. I guess I'm in the minority here.
Yes.
While I think the sentiment is great and will all end all, why are the boys' jobs looking after and protecting girls, like he said? Is he implying they need it? Because what? Why are the women the weaker sex? Just treat everyone with kindness. That's the lesson, man.
How do you take that as somebody who is very into female empowerment?
First, I want to know if you're insulting me or complimenting me.
I'm asking a general question.
No, you got a smirk on your face.
I know. But how do you take that?
Tony is full of toxic masculinity. He's doing push-ups right now. He's got to get all the feels out right now.
He's riding a horse.
I want to be taken care of. I want to be...
You know what? Exactly.
I am a lady, but I can kick some A if I need to.
Right.
Nobody needs to know that. I mean, you guys know
but that,
that
does... You
I want to be treated that way.
You can protect yourself. You've educated yourself and made yourself able to protect yourself, but that doesn't mean that in a bad situation that you don't want your husband to protect you as well.
There's this...
If somebody's breaking in the house or if somebody's, you know, something bad is happening in a public place, you want your husband to be able to protect the family.
I sent Katie this article and it was like the 30 tweets that sum up marriage perfectly. And it was from a man. It says, wife heard a noise downstairs and I got to go check it out now because apparently my life doesn't matter. And I'm like,
my life is
meaningless. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, I don't know,
all
man. That doesn't
that
mean they don't
mad,
exist. But I can't imagine hearing something downstairs and saying to my husband, I'll go check it out.
Right.
And him being like, all right, honey, let
all
me know.
All people
how
that are mad and saying, what does that mean? That women can't protect themselves? No, that's not what it means. That's not what that means at all. But to your point, what if there is a sound downstairs in a house in the middle of the night and the husband sends the wife down to check on it? What is that same person going to say about that guy? About what a, oh, hey,
yeah.
Look, I was just being equal. Last time we heard somebody break in, I went down.
Turn.
It's your turn. And you go take care of it.
That's ridiculous.
Come on.
Yeah.
If my son came home and told me, my PE teacher told me something really cool today, and he handed out a flower to all the girls in my class, and then he told us, as boys, we should have respect for women. We should be able to help them and protect them. And he also said, we're really special, and the girls are really special, and he loves us equally.
I'm taking him out of the
school. That's great.
Right.
That's awesome.
Calling the
principal. That's the lesson that we should be learning, is that it's okay to teach young boys that chivalry is not dead. That's all right.
Yeah, I completely agree. Ryan, you've got twins, a boy and a girl, and you've made comments before about how you can just see, like, just inherent differences. Same age, same experiences, but they're living different lives because one's a boy, one's a girl. Do you teach your son to look out for your daughter, or does that happen, or is it like...
Probably a little too early for that, isn't it?
No, it's not at all. We absolutely do. That, I mean, what that guy said to those kids is almost verbatim what we say to our kids, because I truly believe that if you fight against that message, you are fighting against the way people and genders are wired. I really believe that. And if you affirm it, what you're doing is hitting somebody in the core of who they are. Those little boys, however old they are, they probably heard that and went, yeah.
And like, it
they
resonated.
They got inspired. They got inspired.
Yes.
Yeah, we are supposed to be doing that. I mean, we live in an era of Me Too, and you don't ever hear that message. I'm not saying they're completely linked, but maybe they are. Maybe we need to hear that message more, and some of those problems would go away.
Tony, do you want your teenage daughter, if she got a boyfriend? Not that you know of.
No.
He wouldn't know.
What,
you,
no, I know.
She's 16.
She does not.
Do you, when the right guy comes
she's
around.
She's waiting for the one guy to ask her a prom, and he's just not getting the message.
What's his name and his number?
Dummy.
Let's call him right now.
I can't say that outside. Not allowed.
So, but do you want, I mean, if he comes to take her to prom,
mm-hmm.
he better be opening the door for her, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. Because it's out of selfless action, which can be both ways for men and women. Like, to be cared for doesn't mean you can't care for yourself.
Equal doesn't mean
same.
The same.
Correct.
There can be differences.
And I'll tell you what, there are things that I can do and I have done that you two boys cannot do and would not want to do. We're different. I am capable of doing different things. You are different. You know, like, if I need something heavy lifted, I'm going to go ask Brian or Tony to go lift something heavy for me. And they would both be willing to do that for me because they're nice people. That doesn't make me... my favorite story is I have a friend of mine. She's very feminist and God lover. We needed a bottle of wine open. And the women were upstairs. The men were downstairs. And we were trying to get this bottle of wine open. We couldn't get it open. I go, I'll get it open. And she goes, what are you going to do? I go, I'm going to go down halfway down the stairs and be like, man, this bottle of wine will not come open. And all of the men will stand up and... eventually the wine will be open and we'll be able to drink the wine. She's like, Annie, that's so not feminist of you. I'm like, but it's smart. It's the right thing to do to get the wine
but
from inside the bottle, outside of the bottle. And if I'm going to outwit these men, they're not going to care because somebody down there is going to get to flex on opening this bottle of wine for us. Everybody's happy and we have wine. Like, you don't have to, you know, arm wrestle everything in order to prove equality among the sexes. You're exactly right. I want to get to a couple phone calls real quick here. Mike, thanks for calling the show.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
Like you guys' show.
Thank you.
I was listening to what you said. I have a 14-year-old daughter, a 12-year-old son, and a 9-year-old son. We just talked about this the other day on the way to soccer practice about my daughter's boyfriend. He's a really great kid. It's her first boyfriend. And I told my two boys that they can learn a lot from the way that this kid treats my daughter.
That's
and
great.
what that teacher was telling those boys and those girls, more dads and moms need to be stepping into the picture probably and giving that message. So there's nothing wrong with him doing that.
Yeah. I think that's a great point, Mike. Thank you so much for the phone call. And what he says there, I love, because these lessons need to be taught in the home before they need to be taught in the classroom. Like, this is how you get to handle. You think I'm not telling, like, I told my son yesterday, he's 10, and we needed him to fold a blanket. He's like, you know I can't fold blankets, Mom. And I'm like, you know how you're going to learn? I go, you're going to be a husband one day. And he's like, maybe. And I said, you need to fold that blanket
and learn how to do that yourself.
I like his style. I like his style, but folding a blank is not that tough.
Good effort.
Good try, but folding a blank is not that
so
tough.
Much.
Yeah.
And I said, you need to figure out how to fold a blanket. And if you fold it and it's sloppy, but you tried, then the next time you fold the blanket, maybe it'll be folded a little bit better. But just because you don't know how to do something doesn't mean you get to just take your hands off. Like, you need to learn how to contribute, teach my daughters how to be, trust me, I'm teaching them how to be independent and strong. And they are really, really stubborn sometimes, and it's hard to deal with as a mom. Which you, being the mother of a teen or father of a teenager, probably have on the other end. I'm at the 3-year-old female stubbornness, and you're in the teenager stubbornness, I assume.
And the 9-year-old.
And the 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. She getting there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Every age.
Every
has
woman
its
is
own...
stubborn. Is that
no,
what you're gonna say?
No, every age. Every age has its own.
Struggles.
Yeah, difficulties.
Trials.
Yeah.
What's been the hardest age so far for you and your kids? Is there one?
For me, it's like the terrible twos is a real thing. Like threes.
So it's kind of like all downhill from there.
Yeah, I think it gets easier.
Downhill as in easier.
Because communication gets easier, you know.
Yeah. And you, Ryan's first children were twins. I don't know about that.
I would have been okay with that.
Would
no.
you?
No.
My wife is a twin.
Yeah.
Her grandma is a twin.
My wife is also a twin.
Our kids will
My
probably...
My husband, also a twin.
So the chances of me having twins for grandkids are really high because it's usually
supposed
every other...
Supposed to skip a generation.
It's usually every other generation. So, yeah. So we really thought there was a good chance that we would have twins every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was totally...
Ready.
Fine with it.
Totally
yeah.
ready for it. 314-241-9797. Got a lot of people holding on the line. We'll try to get to your phone calls here immediately when we get back. So stick around. We'll talk more about this. Is this the right message for kids? Is it the wrong message for kids? Are people just looking for something to be angry about? It's kind of what I think. You can also stream us live at facebook.com/AnnieFryShow if you want to watch us. But you can download that radio.com app. Take 97.1 with you everywhere you go, including after this show. Dave Glover Show, hosted by Tony Colombo. So stick around for that. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This is the Donald Trump cover of this song. It's good. Is this better or worse than the original? I don't know.
I'm not a huge fan of the original, so.
Tied for first.
Yeah.
You know, you don't like it. How can you not like it?
I just dislike the way that it became popular.
Because you're better than
it? Through controversy.
What kind of controversy?
It was not allowed on the Billboard Top 100 for country because it was a hip-hop song. And everybody goes, that's racist. And so they said, okay, fine, it's a country song. And then it became popular.
I just like the song. Is that up on our...
That is not yet. I will get to it.
I'm sorry.
I will get that done.
It's really Promise. Funny. It's an auto-tune of Donald Trump singing Old Town Road. But it's... Gosh, how much time does it take to do something like that?
I can't imagine.
So much time.
More time than I have. But I enjoy it. And so we will share it with you. 971talk.com/Annie, where you can read all that stuff and stream us and all that stuff. We also share it to our Facebook page. So we were just talking about this PE teacher. It's maybe kindergarten, first grade, second grade-ish age. And this PE teacher is telling kids for Valentine's Day, gives a flower to all the girls and says to the girls, I love you and you're special to me. To the boys, I love you and you're special to me. But boys, we need to be gentlemen. We need to treat these girls with kindness and care and respect and take care of them, open doors, pull out chairs, and be gentlemen. And I don't, there's no like yet Twitter outcry. I mean, I don't know. It's been 4 hours since I looked at Twitter, so maybe, maybe there is. But this message of being gentlemanly and almost chivalrous, I love it. And I am a strong woman. I do have my thoughts and opinions on pretty much everything. And I don't feel as though I need a man to get through, but I want one, and I have one. And my husband does care for me in those specific ways. He will open the door for me. The other, I don't remember where we were. Maybe it was, I don't know. We were out somewhere, and he got out of the car and came around and opened my door for me. And I was like, what are you doing? Ugh. He's like, I wanted to open the door for you. And I'm like,
So great.
Oh, it was really nice of you. Like,
thank you.
Women would sit in the vehicle and wait for the door to be open for them. But he did that. It was very kind. And I didn't feel as though he was telling me that I was incapable of opening the door for myself. He was just being nice, which we could use a little more of. Some kindness and courtesy.
Respect.
Yes. So we're discussing this, and I'm interested to hear what you think. So let's get to some phone calls here. 314-241-9797. Miriam, thanks for calling the show.
Hi. Yeah. Hello. I was just thinking about this. It's like we can't have it both ways. So I believe in equality and all of that. But I think that teaching boys to protect women is something that we want. I can't imagine saying, no, don't protect the girls. They don't need it. They're strong already. And then we get into this Me Too movement where we're looking at men and we're going, why didn't you do anything? Why didn't you protect the women? But we've been telling them we don't need it. Don't protect us. So I think we can use more of that.
Yeah, and I think it's designed this way. And you're making a fantastic point. Men are being set up to be in the wrong and be the loser in every circumstance because of feminism. That's
right.
Feminism was supposed to be about equal rights for women, not about degrading men. But that's what postmodern feminism has become.
Yes, exactly. And I just think I think that's unfair, just like you're saying. And I think it is setting them up to fail. And I feel bad for men because I'm like, what do you do as a man? I think that they do have an instinct to protect, and I don't see why we would want to tell them that's bad.
100%. I completely agree with you, Miriam. Great call. Thank you so much for reaching out to us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Do you feel, Ryan, do you feel if you're walking through a door and you're with Katie, do you feel, is it your instinct to push the door open for Katie or hold the door any more than you would for Tony? Or is it just general courtesy at that point?
No, I think that kind of thing is just general courtesy. But I think we're talking about something that's very base level instinct stuff that if you are training a kid or a man at any age, really, to protect a woman, you're speaking to that man on a very, very base level. And I think that's a good thing. Whereas you get into the Harvey Weinsteins of the world, and if somebody had told that guy at some point, not just said it, but said, look, we're going to train you up, son, to protect women, we may have avoided a lot of problems.
Yeah, he wasn't holding the door for women. He was holding the door from women.
Mm-hmm. He was preying on them rather than protecting them.
Yeah.
And if that message were to change and we were to teach that more, regardless of where, mainly the home, but I love that teacher was doing
it. And what a bastardization of what this PE teacher is saying to these kids about protecting women and caring for them. For anybody who would draw a connection to the Harvey Weinstein of the world, people who are taking advantage of women, to say that you are caring for a woman does not mean that you're expressing an assumption of inferiority of that woman.
Correct.
It's actually, potentially, the converse of that.
You're honoring her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'll say as a woman, I appreciate when people treat me as if I am a lady, as opposed to like just a straight up equal. And there are sometimes, you know, working in it's a man's world and everything. There are times where that becomes less so. But it's nice to be treated with a sense of respect for simply being a lady. And we are teaching, to Miriam's point, we are in our society right now trying to squash that out of people.
Mm-hmm. I think you're teaching somebody by doing even those simple acts, you're worthwhile.
And kind, yeah, you are worthwhile. And we are trying to spread a message of kindness in this world because we are so, it is such a divisive place that we live in right now as a society. This small, simple, genuine gesture should speak volumes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need more of it. Jeff, thanks for calling the show.
Hi.
Hi, Jeff.
I'm just telling them that I applaud the gym teacher that did this because my mom raised me during the 70s to be what men were raised to be back then. But watching her grow up and do everything by herself, I also taught all of my daughters that there's nothing you can't do.
Yeah.
You don't need a man, but you need to look for a man that's going to treat you right.
Yes, and respect you. 100%. Yeah. I think that's a great point, Jeff. Thank you so much. The idea that you were caring for somebody, I'll tell you what, women care an awful lot for the men in their lives, and they can care for them in ways that include domestic things that are traditionally
female that maybe in 2020 don't exist on the large scale the way they did before. But if you make your husband's favorite cookies in the kitchen, you're not doing it because you're a woman. You're doing it because you care for him, and you know that that will speak to his stomach, therefore his heart.
Yeah, how many women in the world right now, or in this country right now, need to know you're worthwhile because they were never shown that?
Yeah.
And vice versa, how many men are just going to base level, you could call it sexual instinct with women, because they were never taught how to properly honor a woman?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. Rich, thanks for calling the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing okay. What do you think?
Well, I applaud that gentleman for doing what he's doing. After all, he is an educator, and he's educating our young men to grow up to be men. You know, and that's something a lot of people don't care to think that needs to be taught, but I believe it does. We have a principal in our school district through the fifth and sixth grade level. He takes all the kids, boys and girls alike, through a program called the Art of Manliness and teaches them about opening doors, possibly pulling out the chair for the lady, to proper handshakes. You know, there's things that our society has lost, and we need to get back to those basics. It's nothing demeaning towards a female. You know, they should have the same rights as I do. I'm wholeheartedly in that.
And we
but
do.
If a young fella, and if a young fella is going to show up to my house and pick up one of my daughters and pull up and honks the horn, I'm walking out and say, okay, now you can leave. If you're going to disrespect my daughter, you don't have enough stones, come to the door, talk to me to pick up your date. Yeah. Get out of here. You can leave.
Rich, thank you so much for the phone call. I appreciate it. And, you know, I think that the art of manliness is what he just created there. I don't think that to be a man means that you all need to be the same. You can have a huge array of interests. You don't have to like sports to be a man. You don't have to like go out and chop some wood. Although if you want to, you can go ahead and do that and wear your lumberjack shirt or whatever. I mean, being a man to me is about being a gentleman. And that doesn't look like one thing. Just like being a lady doesn't look like one thing. That doesn't mean I am going to, you know, have my hair in rollers and my high heels and my cinched waist, corseted waist. Like that's the old version. But being a gentleman, being a lady, is engulfed in kindness and respect.
I don't remember how old I was. I don't remember what year it was, but I still remember the day my dad taught me how to shake a man's hand.
Yeah. Firm grip.
Yep.
Yeah. It makes a difference.
It does.
It makes a first impression, which is very good. And women, firm handshakes as well. Katie hates a limp handshake.
I do.
She gets real worked up
really
about it.
Do.
You shake Katie's hand. Hold on tight. Tony Colombo hosting The Dave Glover Show. Coming up. Radio.com on your phone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.